in this idea about the Bible. Did we get into the Bible yet, or do we? I can't remember. Yeah. Well, yeah. Go back to the Bible one just for a second. The reason a man, as far as the Bible, the reason a man replaces the Bible, so the authority is not the Bible, it's mankind. And in this sermon, Living with Doubt, I think I read this last time, but here's what he says. He says, I find that the virgin birth and that the bodily resurrection and the parting of the Red Sea and the feeding of the 5,000 to be poetry, but literally beyond credibility. All truth comes from human beings and therefore is partial and open to error. Truth then must be open to question. So there's no truth. That's why he says you live in doubt. And he says when you look at the scripture and you see the stories in the Bible, they can't be right. They're not right because you can't part the Red Sea can't be parted. And a person couldn't be swallowed by a fish. And you know, those are not true stories is what they would say. And so you just have to go back to what we think is right, what a human being thinks.
It makes sense in their religion, though, because they say that man is God and man can't.
They might say, some of them would say that man is God. What they really say is that God is in every man, and that, and we'll quote this because that's a good segue into the idea of what they say about Jesus, because that's exact. Go to the next one if you would. That Jesus, they deny the deity of Jesus, but Jesus is a good moral teacher, and that some of the deals that they say, here's one. This is one of their pamphlets, and it says this: the divinity in Jesus points to the divinity in all human beings. We're all divine. It's not some supernatural essence that raised Jesus. It's just the fact that we are all human, and that's what human beings are like. Whatever is true about Jesus is true about each one of us. The incarnation is true, not of Christ, but of all people. In order to discover the spark of divinity, we need in ourselves, we need to see the spark of divinity in other people. We just need to see that everybody else is God too, and that we're all God, and that God is, we're gods. That's the same thing, and we'll get to it in this New Age movement and everything. When Shirley MacLaine, most of you know, remember her, Shirley MacLaine, I remember the reading about her stuff, and this has been a number of years ago, but when she discovered that she was God. She discovered that she was God. She said she was out on, she was into all this, the New Age and all the things, some like the Tom Cruise and all this stuff that they're into now. And she said that she was standing on the beach, and it just hit her that she was God. She was the creator. She was God. And she began to shout out, I am God. I am God. I have now discovered I am God. And she tells all of us that we need to be able to discover that we're God. And so this is the Unitarian Universalist that, God, there's a God in all of us. We're all God in that sense. Then the deity, yes.
How would they define God?
God is you. God is me.
What are my powers of it, if any?
Oh, to love and to accept people and to come up with what I think is important and vital.
And to human characteristics, not God-like characteristics.
No, because In his little article, Gods and Goddesses, this is his message. He says, if God is all and everyone is God, then at death we just return to God. That's Eastern mysticism there. That's all that is. The universe is God, really. He goes on to say, at the simplest level, we create God in our own image. We decide what God is like. So when we say, what is God? We decide what God is like. Is God one gender or the other? I maintain that all of our images of the divine we create and project. Let us search for the common ground. Let us celebrate all the gods and goddesses within us. So we're all God. That's how they look at it. Jesus Christ is not God. He was a good moral teacher. And he just showed us what a good person can be like. And that's what we're supposed to all do. Of course, the Bible says that in John 10:27-30, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give eternal life to them. They'll never perish. He's the God. I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus made it very clear that he was God and that he was different than any human being. What about Christmas? What do you do at Christmas? Because what is Christmas anyway? It's celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He's coming into the world to be the Savior. Did I read this last week about Christmas? I know I read the other, I don't know if I did or not, but people, here's what they say about Christmas. This came out of the Stillwater News Press. People often ask about how a diverse group of people like Unitarian Universalists can celebrate Christmas. The answer is because it's the season of the heart. There's certain Universalists involved in this warm and human holiday, which is entrenched in our culture. Most cultures adopt a midwinter celebration. The Unitarians observe Christmas, Hanukkah, and the winter solstice. We celebrate songs and telling of stories and colorful decorations. Most of the members of our denomination did not accept the divinity of Jesus, but many believe the celebration of his birth has roots in basic truth. Wait a minute. There's not any basic truths. You can't go back to that. Many Unitarian Universalists hold in the event of Jesus' birth and would say that every birth of every child is holy. We have a feeling of a kinship with those ancients to whom the lengthening of the days promised a new and continuing light so that we celebrate the joy of the winter solstice. We at Unitarian Universalists celebrate Christmas because it's important to set aside a time of celebration. It reminds us to get out of the ruts of our lives that we so easily slip into. Christmas is a season for the birth of new light in our hearts. That's what they say about Christmas. No, they don't really have it. They don't have the creeds. They don't have those things. They just don't have those because they don't want to say that these are the things that we believe. They say we believe in the worth of the human. We believe you have the right to decide. We believe that Christmas is a good thing to celebrate because it's the winter solstice and it's going to be, you know, the days are going to start getting longer again, and that's fun, and that's great, right? And so we want to celebrate that. You know, when you realize the void that people have when they do not have Jesus Christ and the true God. We've seen it as we looked at Jehovah's Witnesses, the void of going back to a Mosaic law, putting themselves under a law system, not being able to do things. We've seen Mary Baker Eddy without the truth of Jesus Christ, believing that there is no sin, no death, no sickness. We've seen the Mormons without the truth of Jesus Christ, pretending that they're all going to be gods one day and have their own planets and do their own thing. And then you see transcendental meditation, the Unitarian Universalist, these people without God. They say, well, we've got to have, you know, if everybody else is going to have a winter holiday, we'll have a winter holiday. Because we all need a winter holiday. What is the point of what? Life. Their point of life would be that, as he writes, that you will live the very best life you can live based on what you think is right. And then since we're all gods and goddesses, God is in us, we all have the same spark of divinity of Jesus, when we die, we'll just somehow form back into the universe.
J.B., during this Thanksgiving holiday, I have been telling the good news message. And I was telling Hazel this morning I've come across a Mormon. I've come across a Unitarian and a...
Just an atheist, you mean?
The church was over here by the Boomer Lake. Apostolic.
Apostolic Church?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Three times I was...
And you shared your faith, and what did they say about Jesus?
They just told me who they were.
Oh, okay.
That, you know, and I'm not wise enough to get into... trying to decipher. I told them I hope that they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they would say, well, I'm a Mormon, or they would say, I'm a Unitarian. And it's amazing if you go out there and start witnessing and telling the good news message, how many you will meet.
Yeah, I think that we don't, sometimes when you go through a study like this, people think, I wonder why we're going over this, because, I mean, when's the last Unitarian I met? Well, you may not realize, but there may be somebody working with you that is, or the Christian Science, or Jehovah's Witnesses, or Mormon.
Maybe there's other notables that are related that are associated with religion. One, of course, is John Dewey.
Oh, yeah.
Of the NEA.
Yeah.
And
oh.
Also Margaret Sanger, who has probably led the greatest Holocaust in the world.
Exactly. She is. She's yeah. Exactly. I'll go back to the secular humanism goes all back. That, in fact, what Unitarians all go back to secular humanism. That's what it is. Humanism, the humanist manifesto. It just that's all it is. But it is a religion because you know you want to be able to give money to this and get tax deductible. So we make sure it's a religion. Let me just say this about. I already read the one about gods and goddesses. And I read a little bit about what they believed about Jesus. So let's go to the salvation thing. We got about a couple, 3-4 minutes. So everybody's going to be saved because, see, in a sense of salvation, is if you're a Unitarian Universalist, then that's what universalism is, that everybody's saved because it's a progressive character development. Basically, God helps those who help themselves. We just want to become better people, and that's the key. And salvation is of the character. It's a combination of works and reason. It doesn't go back to what we'd say, that Scripture is, for by grace you're saved through faith. They would say saved is irrelevant in one sense because everybody is saved. There's no hell or eternal punishment because we all have a right relationship if we're Unitarian. God loves all and all are going to be with Him. That's why the living without, let me see if I can find that part, page 6. Yeah, I don't know if I read this last week, but this is what the guy says toward the end of his message, at the very end of his message on living with doubt. He says this, if there is a God, he, she, or it would need to be satisfied. Now he's telling, here's what God needs to be satisfied with. God would need to be satisfied with a life lived the best way possible. Now here's my question, who determines if there aren't any absolutes? What determines is that is the best way possible? God needs to be satisfied with a life lived the best way possible, a life with questions and doubts. And then he goes on to say, if not, now if God's not satisfied with that, I would rather be in hell because that's where I'd find all my friends. That's what he says. Well, that's a good possibility. I mean, I hate to say that, but that is a good possibility. Yeah, this could be absolute truth. Huh? I know. Wow. I mentioned last week, I read this, but I have to do it again. What do they do on Sundays? Because I had people come and say, what do they do on Sundays? What would you do on Sundays? You don't have a Bible. What do they talk about? And this was, I'm not going to say any names because some of the names are people in this town that I know. But it says this person will speak Sunday at the Unitarian Church on fear as a way of life, the hero and the wimp. He will discuss dealing with the apprehensions which accompany problems such as pollution, the greenhouse effect, and overpopulation. That's Sunday morning message. Huh? I don't know, but the junior high string quartet will play special music. And then, at what we would call Sunday school, they have the religious forum. It meets at 9. Their church service is at 10:30. Their Sunday school is at 9, but it's called the religious forum. And I read this last week, but I have to read it again. The religious forum will discuss solid waste management. Okay, that's... I've been wanting to talk about that for a long time, haven't y'all? I mean, people have come up to me and said, what are we going to do after Luke? What are we going to do after Luke? I've been thinking 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, but I guess we could do solid waste management. I mean, right? What do we want to do?
I'm surprised they have a set time for their service. You would figure it'd be kind of a come and go.
Well, you'd think it might, but I guess they have to decide when they're going to meet. All right. In summary, three things. They reject the Bible. Reason is the authority, not the Bible. That Jesus is not God. He's a good teacher. He's a good man. In fact, if there's divinity in Jesus, it means that there's divinity in all of us. We're all God in that sense, and that's why He's not God in that sense. And that salvation is progressive character development. It's that we, as the days go by, as the years go by, we get better and better and better. But the problem is, who determines what's better? What makes you better today than you were yesterday? If there's no absolute standards, how do you determine what's better or not? And then finally, just the idea of how to witness to people like this. We talked about this go to the next slide, I think, is number one, that they're, you know, remind them that there are absolutes. And when they say there are no absolutes, say to them, isn't that an absolute statement that you just made? Because they have to realize that they really don't live what they believe, because they live based on standards and they live based on absolute standards. I mean, we mentioned this last week, but if any of them went into Walmart and bought something for $20 or bought something for $10 and gave them a $20 bill, they're expecting $10 back. Because the standard is, if I give you 20 and it only costs 10, you give me 10 back. Now, if the guy behind the counter says, I'm a Unitarian, and what's good for me is good for me. This is what I believe. I don't believe I give change. Well, then the other Unitarian would say, that's not right. Whoa. Who says what's right? Each body decides what's right. They do not live out what they actually believe. They can't exist in a society in which there are no standards or absolutes. Cannot happen. Second is that show them Jesus Christ is God. He is. As Patricia would say, you tell people the good news message, and that is that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died on the cross, that He paid for sin, that He rose again, and that He will give eternal life to all who believe. And some people say they don't believe that. That's right. But the good news message is what we give to every human being, because the Holy Spirit is convicting the world. John 16:8-11, He's convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they have not believed. So if you get on issues and argue with them on side issues, that's not the issue. Always stay on the issue that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is the one who died and rose again, and that salvation is by faith. It's not progressive. It's not character. It's simply faith alone in Christ alone, because He's the Savior. Stay with that message, because that's what the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is dealing with them, if they're open at all, and the Holy Spirit is dealing with them, He's going to be dealing with them on the fact that they have not believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's how He'll deal with them. So get on all the other issues. Now remember, the goal of our study is just to have an understanding of what these people believe, so that we can be ready to give an answer to anyone for the hope that is within us. And that's the key. Every one of us in this room, our goal is that we study the Scripture. Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, CBI, small groups, anything that we do, we study it so that we can be trained and equipped, so that we can grow, so that we can have a knowledge of what we believe, we can know what we believe. And then when time comes, we are studying this so that we can have an answer, so we can know what they believe, and then based on what we know is true from the Scripture, we can be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. And so as you go out from here, and it happens every time, I get an email that after we do the study on Mormons, I get emails from people saying, guess who I talked to yesterday? Guess who came to my house? When we did the Jehovah's Witness thing, guess who people came? I got emails and calls. Guess who came to my house? A Jehovah's Witness. I hadn't seen a Jehovah's Witness in years. Now they're here, okay? So most likely you'll probably run into some Unitarians pretty soon, because some of you ran into some Christian Science just not too long ago, because we studied Christian Science. Now, when we get into Transcendental Meditation, Yoga, and New Age movement, and all of this stuff like Eckhart Tolle and what Oprah is now believing, and what Tom Cruise and all of the Hollywood stuff and the L. Ron Hubbard and all of that, when we get into that, that is so weird that when you talk to people like that, you will actually look at them and say, you don't really believe that. You believe that? But that may not be the exact best way to respond. You don't really believe that, do you? What an idiot, you know. But the truth is this. When people reject Jesus Christ, they will believe anything. I don't think we're going to have a bell rung today. What do you think? It's past time, isn't it? Yes.
Do they all have the same religion, or do they just believe their own thing?
Who?
The ones in Hollywood.
Oh, they got all kind of different stuff. I mean, some of them are in groups, but it is way... It's weird. It's weird. I mean, just watch what's happened to Oprah.
Okay, JB. I remember Oprah when she was a young woman first on TV. Mm-hmm. And she on TV said that she believed in Jesus Christ as her personal Savior.
That's right.
The Bible says that money is the root of
the love of money.
It
does.
And I think that gets into people's eyes. I think the more they grow, the powerful they get, that the greed and love of money changes, because Oprah didn't think like she's thinking today.
Well, I think that she grew up in Mississippi. She grew up in a small town in Mississippi, which is part of the Bible Belt, and just about everybody there growing up, especially in her generation and my generation, would have heard the news of Jesus Christ. But then she's, where is she? Where is she living now? Chicago. No telling what she hears, and she's bought into the others.
She's going to go to heaven because she gave her life to Jesus Christ.
Well, not because she gave her life to Christ, but because she believed in Jesus Christ as her Savior. Yeah, okay.
She's going to be ashamed.
Okay, right. Now, here's the question. I don't know if she's trusted in Christ as Savior. If she says she did, then I would take her at her word and say that she has. Now, she's not believing that now. That doesn't mean she's not a Christian. That means now she's moved away from the truth, and a lot of people move away from the truth. But I hope when she was younger she believed in Jesus.
I was telling about this man that you knew that really believed, and now he's saying, well, I don't really believe all that right now. Oprah has moved from what she was back when she was a young woman first on TV.
We got to stop, don't we? Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thanks for our class. Thank you most of all for Jesus. Lord, help us to realize that the only answer for people is Jesus Christ. That He is the Savior, that You loved us so much, You sent Him into this world, He died and rose again, gives eternal life to all who believe. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and He is all we need. Help us, Lord, to be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.